so they can see the oars.
There you go.
Who's this old guy in the front? We go soul winning together. Can you imagine that? Amen. All right. But Jimmy's going to graduate. He's going to march. He's going to march. He's hoping he's marching. Amen. All right. Amen. Isn't that good? Boy, that was good. You guys did a great job. Wow. Great. Well, what a place. Isn't this a great place? It's called a Bible college. Aren't you glad you're in Bible college? All right, today I want to speak to you. Of course, I always do something different, but I want to thank Nathan Bushy for building this for me about a week ago. Where are you, Nathan? Stand up, Nathan. Stand up. Come on. Give him a hand. He built that. Amen. He built that because I want to talk about something that has to do with boats and water and whatever. But he built that, and it's not waterproof yet. He said maybe we could waterproof that thing. And Brother Collins said it's too cold to be in the lake yet, but maybe by the end of the school year we can do something crazy. But we'll do something. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we sure do love you today. What an honor and a privilege to be behind this pulpit, Lord. And just the great men that passed by here yesterday, Lord. Men that are out in the trenches and been for years and just doing a great work for you. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for our preacher who loves pastors. And that we could show off our college a little bit yesterday. And some of them have never been on our campus before. What a thrill that must have been, and especially coming to chapel with these great students, Lord. Pray that you'll bless now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Between now and April 29th, you probably got about, I could be wrong on this, maybe by a few, but you probably have about 21 more chapel messages before you graduate and before we leave on April 29th, on that Friday. Of course, the 50th reunion, and we're looking forward to that. About 21 more, and you're going to be busy. Missions conference, of course, starting this weekend through Wednesday. We're going to have college days. Young students are coming for the first time to our campus, college days. Then we have a ladies' meeting that'll be happening with Mrs. Wilkerson. And then, of course, you're going to have assignments that are due. You're going to have outside reading that has to be done. And then you're going to have finals. And then it's going to be over. And then you have May, June, July, and August. 4 months away from here. A lot of things can happen, Brother Mitchell, in 4 months. So I want to talk to you about that today. That a lot of things can happen. Here today you have boundaries. Dating boundaries. And things that you need. That we all need. But when you leave here on April 29th, and the seniors and the freshmen, the sophomores and juniors, and hopefully they'll be back, and prayerfully they'll be back, I just want to know you ahead of time that we love you. My wife and I pray constantly for you. And the kids in my class, I get out their pictures every day, and I pray for the students in my class. Some of you I know better, a little bit better than others, and we kibitz in the hallways and we say hi. But I just want you to know you have a preacher here this morning that truly loves you and cares for your soul. And so you got 4 months with probably no boundaries. You should have boundaries. You should keep the same boundaries. But 4 months is a long time. And I have in my Bible, and of course I use these in the last three messages that I've preached in chapel. Of course, the one about a year ago or so is a void which you cannot resist. It's a good thing to do, isn't it? Because if you don't avoid certain things, you won't finish. Pastor Barlamin. Do I'm saying that right, Pastor Barlamin? How do you say his last name? Barlamin? Pastor Barlamin made a statement from this pulpit and in my office. He said, the thing I really regret in one of the major decisions that I made that was a wrong decision, that I did not finish my education and graduate from Hiles Anderson College. And yet he's a successful pastor, but he's still in the back of his mind. He says, I wish I would have gotten my degree at Hiles Anderson College. It's just something about finishing. Just to finish. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. You know the story, we had it up here, the runner from a foreign country didn't finish, finished dead last, our race finished before. He said, my country didn't send me to start the race, but to finish the race. And your parents and your loved ones, story of two elderly women, they were talking, and one elderly lady said, every year I send my grandchildren a sizable amount, a check for a sizable amount. And she said, they call me, they talk to me, they send me notes, they come by. And the other elderly lady said, well, I send my grandchildren a sizable check every year, and they never call me. They never thank me. She said, I don't understand it. You send a sizable check and they come by and they thank you. What do you do so different? She says, I don't sign the checks. Amen? Honey, that'll get them. Amen? Be sure and sign the check. Amen, and go by and sign the check. You got that? Did everybody get that one? That's good? Amen. But it's important. And then, of course, you know what? You're going to be gone this summer for 4 months. That's a long time. Then keep your priorities right. Come on, am I right or wrong? It's easy to get out of it, okay? And so what I'm speaking on today is simply this. Take your Bibles and let's stand. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I know they're just cards, but I'll tell you what, they've helped me out in my lifetime. And avoid what you cannot resist and finish and whatever. I might as well bring that out right now. Sometimes, do you ever drift or do you ever get off track and over the years? I said, yeah. And sometimes I'll use anything that'll get me going or be alone as a pastor in my office or whatever the case may be. And I'll trigger something that has meant a lot to me to keep me going. And I'll still remember this. This happened 45 years ago. Cast them out. Okay. Listen to me. You know the story. I did a terrible job and got flunked a quiz and whatever, wanted to go home. 37 years old. But I remember Brother Hiles walking through the door here and speaking and saying, don't quit. And he said, go home and take your dictionary. This dictionary is 45 years old. I was a freshman in college when I bought it. And he said, don't quit. Listen to me now. Listen. That was 45 years ago. I cut the word quit out. I said, that was 45 years ago. I cut that word out. What are you going to cut out? God wants you to finish. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. Let's look at it. Let's read that verse together. We'll read those four verses together. Ready? Here we go. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own. I want you to look at that verse right there, verse 1. This is what I want to talk to you about this morning. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time we should let them what? Slip. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject. Are you drifting? Are you drifting? You may be seated. The author calls his readers to listen carefully, give earnest heed to the words, to the truth you've heard, and so you don't drift away. That word slip there. Listening is hard work. Listening is hard work. And it involves focusing our minds not merely on hearing, but obeying. True story. Two boys were fishing in a boat similar to this, and they were catching fish. And they had, the oars and inside the boat, of course, and they were fishing, having a good time, and they were catching fish. It was on a river. They were on a river. And they knew that ahead was falls, but they were so busy catching fish and having a good time, they got nearer and nearer to the falls, and then one said, "Boy, we're getting awfully near," and by the time that they got the oars in the water, the rapids of the river and the undercurrent of the river took their boat and went over the falls. They found their bodies 3 days later. They were good kids, but they were not paying attention. They were drifting. They were drifting. There's nothing wrong. They found out. I said they found their bodies 3 days later. The danger of drifting is not limited to the physical, but to the spiritual also. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, a warning against drifting, things that we should know about drifting. Number one, drifting requires no effort. You just drift. No effort at all. Just stop oaring and you begin to drift. We had a family of relatives that was a great swimmer, and his wife was a great swimmer, and they were out in Lake Erie. And for some reason, he was floating and whatever and got away, and he was drifting away, and the boat was drifting away. And all of a sudden, he got a little panicky because he got tired. Good swimmer, but he got tired. And his wife tried to start the boat, and she couldn't get it started, and getting it started, and panic really set in. But thank God that she finally got the boat started, and she rescued her husband. But he would have drowned. All they were was just drifting. Just drifting. Things we should know about drifting. Number one, drifting requires no effort. And number two, the same thing for the Christian. The Bible says, give more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Many Christians slowly drift away. I asked Brother Bushy for this, Mark Bushy, for this. He went the other day in chapel, or not chapel, but the other day in devotions, he said he was down in Carolina, or maybe talking to his son over the phone. Matt down in Carolina works for Brother Shook. And he said, "Dad, Matt," I don't know, maybe some of you know Matt, fine young man, and Brother Bushy's son. And he said, "You know, Dad," he says, "it's so sad." He said, "Some of the guys that I graduated with and people from Hiles Anderson College aren't even serving anymore. They're doing nothing. They're no serving." And you say, "Well, what happened? What happened?" A lot of them have drifted. And I'm sure they're good kids, I'm sure. But they've drifted. And many Christians have slowly drifted away. Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me for the what? The things of this. You got 4 months away from college. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Use your Bibles. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And they that which fell among thorns are they which, when they had heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to their perfection." Get involved with the riches and the pleasures of this life. That could happen to some of you this summer. Are you listening to me? Get involved with the cares and start making big money and good money, and all of a sudden, guess what? It doesn't happen overnight, but you just what? You just start drifting. Drifting can happen to anybody at any time. When you drift, you choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And as we move farther and farther, as we drift from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. The boundaries drop off. It's just about you. 4 months is a long time. A long time. A lot of things can happen in 4 months. But may I strongly suggest to you that you keep your boundaries and you keep your worship up and your walk right? Are you listening to me? Most of the messages that I preach from this chapel are challenging, but messages that are preventive messages. We don't want to lose anybody. And you don't have to. You don't have to drift. Drifting is easy to do, but you don't have to. Drifting is dangerous to others. A ship just drifting is a hazard to other vessels, and many are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Hopefully, you don't have to worry about that with you, but get involved with false doctrine and false teaching. Because we realize that doctrine determines destiny. Where does it end? It ends usually in shipwreck. We've had some of that here. It's sad. Young people that are dating, I'm not against that. I think it's important to have a good dating life and a clean, fresh, pure dating life. But 4 months is a long time. Drifting is dangerous to others. Common signs of drifting. What are some common signs of drifting? I'm speaking to myself today. By the way, nobody's exempt on this platform. You know, sometimes we forget about what these people are. No, they're human. They're a bunch of sinners just like I am, right? Saved by the grace of God. We fight the devil. We fight the flesh all the time. We're still flesh, brother. Amen? We're still flesh. Common signs of drifting. A diminishing desire to follow God's word. We lose our desire to read it or to study it. When you're drifting, you have no desire to read it. That's probably why you're drifting. You're drifting. Pray less and less. You're drifting. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. I said this morning in my class, you know, you start making a statement for Christ and start getting bold for the Lord Jesus Christ in a kind and sweet way, and guess what? You don't have to worry about your so-called friends. They'll drop away from you. They just drop right away from you. Diminishing desire to be with God's people. When a Christian, you and I prefer the companionship of people of the world rather than our fellow Christians, we're drifting. We're drifting. Spiritual destruction. Spiritual destruction. Not only that, but diminishing desire to share the gospel. My wife and I had a great Sunday. Both our converts came to church and they both got baptized. We went out 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, and this young lady was clean for 2 years. She was on drugs. She was homeless 2 years ago, and my wife led her to Christ. And has a boyfriend or a fiancé, and we went out there last week ago Tuesday, and I led him to Christ. They have a little baby, 8, 9 months old, Jackson, and they came to church Sunday. And they enjoyed it. My wife brought her a Bible, and Tuesday, I went over there Tuesday night, and I bought him a Bible and brought a Bible over there. You know, I still get excited over people getting saved and seeing changed lives. How about it? Do you get excited? Lauren, do you get excited about seeing people saved? Noah, do you get excited about people saved? I never get used to it. Do you? How about when you get your converts in the water? Is that exciting? Amen. Don't ever lose that. When you do, you're drifting. Right. When you do, when you don't, when you lose that, you're drifting. How about it, Pastor? He was the first one in the came through the doors the other day. He said, "I got to tell you something, Brother Froakie. I came to your church in 1994. Dr. Hiles was there, Randy Taylor, and Dennis Coral, and I had all three there." And Dr. Hiles did a question and answer period. I had the video the other day. I dug it out, and I gave it to Pastor Wilkerson because Brother Hiles was talking about production and maintenance. Production and maintenance. You got to have maintenance, and you got to have production. Talked about John 15 today in my class, the fruit chapter. And it's so true. You win people to Christ and they don't fruit don't remain because why? There's no maintenance. You got to maintain your converts. Production and maintenance. Diminishing desire to share the gospel. And when a Christian no longer has the desire to take the message of salvation, you're drifting. You're drifting. An increasing thrill over the things of the world. And Titus 3:4 says, lovers of pleasure more and the lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What are the remedies against drifting? Keep rowing. Just keep rowing. And they got to go against the tide. A lot of times you got to go against that tide. But guess what? What are the remedies? The remedies from drifting is you got to keep rowing and put the oars in the water. Keep rowing. Just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. That's what you got to do. Just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. Watch out for the undercurrent, though. Expect to go against the tide, and many tides like to sweep us away. Popularity, I was talking to the kids about in my high school. I remember we were a great hockey school. Matter of fact, Herbie Brooks, who did coach the hockey team for the USA, graduated from our high school. And great hockey school, and I remember some of the kids that I graduated with. But you know what happened to a lot of them? They started reading the newspaper clippings. And probably most of them that I know about are doing nothing today. Be careful about reading your own newspaper clippings. Right. Hello. Someone said about Pastor, who was it? Tony, I can't remember. He came yesterday. Pastor, a new pastor from Long Beach, California. He said he's the most humble man I ever met. Humility. I remember one time when it was pastor's office, he said, Froki, go low. Just go low. Just go low. Humility is so important. Many times the tides that sweep us away. Popularity and peer pressure and praise of others. Tour groups. Kind of popular kids in the tour group and they're looked up to because they're going to represent our college. But guess what? They can drift too. Hello? False doctrines. If you drift along with the majority, you'll be lost. My question today, are you drifting? I'm saying to you today, the danger is real, and we'd be foolish to say otherwise. Amen. Drifting is real. Many have drifted away from the Lord, and we would be arrogant to say, it could not happen to me. It can. What are the signs of drifting in your life? What are the signs of drifting in your life? Honestly, ask yourself that question. Think about it. When God slips from first place in our lives, everything else loses its meaning. Right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. I said, when God slips from first place in our lives, everything else loses its meaning. It does not have to be permanent. I like that. Aren't you glad it doesn't have to be permanent? Amen. There's always a way back. Amen? Lord. There's always a way back. Amen. You say, well, preacher, well, what's the way back? I've done it many times, and I do it now. When I start drifting, you know, let me give you the key. You ready for this? How to get back? Because God wants you to come back. You say, how can I get back? We can never lose our relationship with Jesus Christ, but we can certainly lose our fellowship. But how can I get back and have that fellowship? Number one, the word begins with a C. It's called confession.
Good.
Amen? Amen. Think confession is important.
Amen.
Second thing is repentance, because confession comes before repentance.
Right.
We confess our sins and then repent, because what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind.
Right.
A change of mind, a change of direction.
Amen.
A change of direction. So we got confession, and now we've got repentance. And let me just say this. God responds to confession and repentance with complete forgiveness.
Amen.
1 John 1:9, amen?
Amen?
He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins,
amen,
and to cleanse us from what?
All
All unrighteousness. So you're drifting. Come back. Put the oars in the water and start rowing. Put the oars in the water and start rowing. God's response to confession and repentance with complete forgiveness. Confession and repentance, listen to me. I'm speaking to myself right now. Confession and repentance should be part of our regular talks with God. Brother Mitchell, regular talks. He's just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I love this guy. You know what I love about him? He's real and he's got a lot of humility. And he perspires a lot. I'm just teasing. He's a hard worker. I respect him. I respect Anthony Collins and all the assets that he is at Hiles Anderson College. I really do. Confession and repentance should be part of our regular talks with God. Are you drifting? Are you drifting? Are you drifting? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you today, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Shall we all stand, please? We can stand. It's up to you. If you want to do business at the altar's open. That's completely up to you. I'm just asking you a question. You may not be drifting. You may not be. Let's keep it. Let's get the oars in the water. Let's get the oars in the water. Let's get the oars in the water. It's an easy thing to do. It's talk about, are you drifting? Well, I've drifted many times in my lifetime. I thank God that I went back to that book at 45 years ago and said, don't quit, just keep going. I want to finish.